Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to learn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts in burnt forest and I've felt outraged. Ah!
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this ought to be demonic.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which story is most demonic? Because they all are. The question is, which one is the most demonic? Jimmy, are you prepared to be the federal head for tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program?
Absolutely.
Are you prepared to be an expert in the demonic?
Sure.
I mean, I know you're an expert in judging.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have to, you tell me if I've got this wrong. What else is this behavior? Story number one, Colorado, a Roman Catholic church on, brace yourself, Mother's Day, had protesters demanding abortion. With chants, oh, some of them we've heard before, my body, my choice, but these chants were different. As a woman, I think that's what it was, as a woman dressed in a white bathing suit with a some sort of big robey thing over her, she also had baby dolls that were strung together by rope and banners and things. And she would stuff them inside of her bikini to show a baby bump. And then she'd pull them out, ripping them out, saying, I'm killing the babies. I'm killing the babies.
Right.
That's at a Roman Catholic church. As the crowd affirmed her behavior, she was then removed where she fell down on the ground to continue chanting, I want to kill babies. That is our culture these days. Jimmy, that's story number one. You think I'm going to be able to top that?
I'm not quite sure. That's what I was going
to
say.
Maybe. Thanks to Amazon. Although, as long as I brought up the subject of the Roman Catholic Church, not sure this qualifies as demonic. Maybe. Madonna has been tweeting the Pope. That's right. Madonna, supposedly a Roman Catholic. I think she's Italian. She lives in England, though. She's picked up a British accent that's as original and accurate as my impressions of just about anybody. Madonna, who is famous, of course, for Like a Prayer, which featured a cross burning and an erotic depiction of Jesus. That was a good one, that. She also came under fire for staging a mock crucifixion during a concert in Rome in 2006. Decided she wants to be back in Roman Catholic graces, so tweeting on Cinco de Mayo. Can I tell you how dumb I am? Friel, I don't think you need to. Jimmy, I just figured out what Cinco de Mayo is.
5th of May?
Yeah, exactly.
You seriously just figured that out.
It's a Spanish holiday.
Right.
And that's the end of it. It's actually Cinco. I would, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Hey, that's five. Cinco de Mayo, May 5th! I thought I was a genius at the moment. By the way, Spain is considering banning prostitution. I didn't know this. It's an eastern, Thailand, I think Puerto Rico and Spain are the top three sex trafficking centers in the world. And they're at least having a conversation about banning prostitution. Now, it is being done to protect women and children, and I say amen to that. But I also think that it should be done for another reason. It's bad. It's bad behavior. Nevertheless, we'll take a victory if there is one. Madonna tweeted thusly, hello, Pontifex Francis. I'm a good Catholic. I swear. I mean, I don't swear. She's a clever one. She writes music, don't you know? It's been a few decades since my last confession. Jimmy, You're not Roman Catholic, but I suspect you would know the answer to the question. How many times should somebody be going to confession? Is it once every few decades?
No, I don't think so. I think they require a little bit more over there.
A little more. Would it be possible? Listen to this. Chutzpah. Would it be possible to meet up one day to discuss some important matters from one head of state to another? Madonna wants to meet with the Pope, you know, to chat dogma, I guess. Wow. Dear Joe Biden, would like to sit and meet with you to talk. Dear Vladimir, got a free moment to sit down to have some tea and scones? Although I've heard them pronounce scones.
Really?
I don't know if that's the way you're supposed to say it or not. I'll have to watch more British TV. She added, I've been excommunicated 3 times. It doesn't seem fair. Sincerely, Madonna. Well, you can only be excommunicated once. And unfortunately, I don't think you have been. You should have been, Madonna. In fact, I received a tweet from a friend of mine who's Roman Catholic, who was really adamant the Pope should be excommunicating the President of the United States because of what he's saying about abortion. He's defending it so rabidly. And then, boing, make your eyeballs pop out. He stated that as children of God, we have the right to abortion. Wow.
Wow.
Could you get that any more backwards? I don't think so. And this Roman Catholic wanted that Roman Catholic kicked out. It would be a very good thing. It would be so good for any Christian sect or denomination to deal with a high-profile person who is not in alignment with your supposed values. All right, so the Roman Catholic Church is story number one.
Oh, yes.
I'm killing the babies.
Yeah.
Number two, Madonna claiming to be a good Catholic. There's something demonic about that. I don't know what it is. Story number three, Amazon is now going to pay up to $4,000 to its employees so that they can tootle off someplace to get an abortion. Wow. They aren't the only company, by the way. A growing list of corporations that offer abortion coverage. They're panicking, rightly so, over what appears to be the end of Roe v. Wade. Won't that be a great day? They are now trying to help women. Then go to a state where you can get an abortion, and they're willing to pay for it. Whew. Question number one, what do we do with this? All right, do you shop on Amazon? Probably. You probably get something through them at some point.
Everybody does.
The Amazon Prime. How do you avoid this? If you've got a conscience that says, I can't spend my money there, then don't. Because it's a sin to override your conscience. But I have to tell you, as annoying as this is, as disgusting and demonic as this is, we live in the world and we just have to do business with pagans. And you're not going to escape it when you go to the gas station, which is just incredibly agitating. I'm one of those people. I don't like going to the gas station anyway. I've got a thing on my car that tells me how many miles I can travel until I'm going to be stranded on the side of the road.
You take it all the way down.
Single digits. Because I'm never that far away from a gas station. I get below 10 and it's like, I guess I have to get serious about this. Filling up your car, it's like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 seconds. Stop! That's just in Georgia. Try it in California. I don't know. It's got to be a different economy out there. At any rate, our culture continues to do things that appear to be downright demonic, and we've got to figure out how we're going to engage with them. There are going to be times when you say it's too direct. It's too immediate. For instance, you're an individual. You work at Amazon. You're in fulfillment. You're in the warehouse. Are you participating in these abortions? No, I don't think you are. What, however, if you work inside of human resources and you have to be the one to shuffle the papers to pay for somebody to take a trip to have an abortion? Ugh. That's getting tougher, isn't it? You're on the committee that decides these types of issues for Amazon, and you must vote. And you realize that if you don't vote in the affirmative, you're going to be fired. It's I think there's approximations to evil where you're actually engaging in the causing it to happen, as opposed to you're just working at some place that has a bunch of sinners running it, which is every place. So I think that we should at least be mindful that different Christians, different positions might make different decisions. Conscience should always be heeded, but I think you need to recognize you're working for a sinner. It's not Amazon. I Googled this once because increasingly we have to make these decisions. I Googled our local grocery stores and our local gas stations to look up on their website what organizations they support. All of them support things that are objectionable to me. So I guess I'm walking and not eating anymore. Nope. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We just need to deal with the world and recognize that increasingly they are more and more demonic. Story number one, I'm killing the babies. I'm killing the babies. Protest at the Roman Catholic Church. Number two, Madonna. This might be her first top two in a long time. I'm guessing. And story, did we get the story? Yeah. Amazon paying for abortions, but we're not done yet. Oh, Friel, we wish you were. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. So what do you get when you mix a group of Gen Z college students and a group of biblical experts together with 2,000-year-old questions? Well, of course, you get Road Trip to Truth. John Favarez has hit the road on a quest to find answers to life's biggest questions like environmentalism, social Darwinism, the deadly impact of pornography, and the dangers of agnosticism. Those are just a few of the topics covered in Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth, which is available now. Now at roadtriptotruth.org. Season 1 is also available, along with study guides for each season and a homeschool curriculum. Road Trip to Truth helps your children better understand questions from the world from a biblical perspective, and it will help you learn how to witness more effectively to this generation. So grab your copy of Season 1 and 2 of Road Trip to Truth at roadtriptotruth.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
This is our dear brother Max in Ukraine, who's been a Tomorrow Club leader now for almost 20 years, giving us a picture of what is going on currently in Ukraine, specifically regarding the activity of the Tomorrow Clubs, normally kids' clubs where they meet every week to hear the gospel. But right now, those Tomorrow Club leaders are spending their efforts simply trying to minister to people who are in danger or who have nothing.
And our Tomorrow Club leaders in the West are trying to meet the needs of those families who had to escape, serving them. It's a good opportunity to show Christ to them in this time of trial.
There are many who need the bare necessities of life. Tomorrow Clubs is trying to serve them in that regard. Would you please consider what you might do for Ukrainian believers at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Transformed, our latest production, is available now in the Wretched store or by visiting transformed.org. This show is like nothing else on Christian TV. You'll witness real biblical counseling sessions with real people dealing with real issues like anxiety, OCD, depression, phobias, and trauma. What you won't see is a secular therapy session or even a Christian counseling session, which still uses secular psychology. No, you are going to witness the power of the Bible and work right before your eyes. Real people with real problems being offered real solutions. Hosted by Dr. Greg Gifford, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at The Masters University, and Dr. Dale Johnson, the Executive Director of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. Transformed, where you'll witness biblical counseling as it takes people from brokenness to wholeness. Visit transformed.org.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did you know there are degrees of demonic? This is Wretched Radio. You see, you got some things that are like, oof. Maybe there was some demonic influence there. You got other things that are like, oof, that actually is a demon. And everything in between. And these days, we are seeing more and more of it. And we don't want to become one of those ministries that is constantly identifying everything as demonic, looking for demons everywhere. No, but I think that we need to be biblical in describing what is happening around us so that we can know how to engage. And I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? What political solution is going to fix a woman wearing a bikini, stuffing baby dolls into her bathing suit, ripping them out saying, I'm killing babies? What's gonna fix corporations? It's not just Amazon. It's also Citibank and Yelp that are paying their employees up to $4,000 to go get an abortion. Travel expenses, don't you know? Because it might not be convenient in your state. What else do you call this? I think we need to label it for what it is so that we can recognize we are not going to find a solution in the secular realm. We're not going to find any sort of principle, life hack, that is going to stop this kind of behavior short of regeneration. Not sure I mentioned this, but there, I think I did. There was a received, I don't know why this is so stuck in my brain, other than things get stuck there. Most things fall out, but a lot of things get stuck. And incidentally, if you don't think that you're addicted to the cell phone, I got to tell you, reading a book by a guy who I don't think is a Christian. He seems more Jungian in his approach, more influenced by Carl Jung. And no, I'm not talking about the professor from Toronto, Jordan Peterson, who is very Jungian in his thinking. This is a guy named Cal Newport. And the book that was recommended to me is called Deep Work. It's a book to help you do your work better without distractions. And I happen to be in a segment of it where it's a little bit convicting. Here's the test. You're standing in line at the grocery store. You've picked the best line, which, of course, moves slower than all the other lines. Does that happen to you, too? What would happen if you were in a line and I was in the other line and you think that you always pick the slowest line and I'm convinced I pick the slowest line? Somebody's going to lose that bet at any rate. You stand there. You're waiting. What do you do?
Scroll.
You scroll.
Yep, absolutely.
It's an indicator. My brain is incapable of boredom. My brain is incapable of thinking thoughts that are a little bit deeper or more introspective. My brain is incapable of being disciplined to fill the time with an inner conversation if necessary, rather than I gotta turn on the electric thing. And I went, oh boy. Because one of my pet peeves, got a pretty long list of them. One of my pet peeves is when you go to a restaurant and you see these families where the kids aren't talking to the parents because they're on their phones and so are their parents regularly, or the kids are on a tablet and the parents are on their phones. Four people, five people, just sitting there. Nobody's talking to one another. That just bakes my biscuits. So we try not to do that unless it's like, okay, we got to look something up in order to go from here to there. Okay, that's a valid service use for a cell phone. But Mrs. Friel gets up and goes to the bathroom. Can I just sit there and wait? Can you just sit there and wait while your spouse goes and takes a visit to the bathroom? Or do you need to pick it up and scroll? Now, this book almost pushes deep work almost into a religious realm. But his point is that your brain is a muscle that you have to exercise. You maybe exercise for the sake of your lungs and your heart. You perhaps do things to keep your cholesterol down. What about our brains? Are we exercising them, or do we just consume them with... I was talking. Ray wouldn't mind me saying this. Ray Comfort and I were talking, and he said, I can't stand how social media has so affected my attention span. It's like, come on. The light just turned red. Let's go. Gotta move it. Cause I can't just sit still. Scrolling, get to it. Lickety split or you're out. Because people just don't have the patience, myself included. And I couldn't help but wonder, am I in this descriptor where I need to just start getting mastery over my cell phone so that I can think things, spend time pondering family members, yes, what's happening at work, what's going on in your society, your neighborhood. Gotta tell you, I think that we might all be a little bit more addicted than we are inclined to believe about ourselves. At least I know that's true of Jimmy. At any rate, reading the deep work, it's not helping yet. But you've got to practice it. You've got to exercise it. As we study our society and our culture, we see them drifting further and further and further and further away from reality. Is social media helping that? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure that I care, frankly. What I do know is that there are more and more manifestations of what can only be described as hellish behavior. Story number one, if you recall, it was...
The Bikini Woman.
The Bikini Woman with babies.
Right.
Number two is Madonna with her first top two in decades. Number three, Amazon and other corporations paying so that you can have an abortion, so you can take a trip to another state if necessary. And as long as I'm off the subject, was reading about some of the implications about the potential Roe v. Wade decision overturning Roe v. Wade. It's the Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health. I suspect at some point they're just going to start calling it Dobbs versus Jackson, because who of us can remember three words in a row? Dobbs versus Jackson, that is the leak that came out of the Supreme Court, indicating that the Supreme Court has decided, rightly so, that Roe v. Wade is just bad jurisprudence. Thought you should know, this is courtesy of the Christian Post, 21 states would ban or further restrict abortion. That's good news. They're probably going to be red versus blue anyway, but a lot of the red states will get even more conservatives. 13 states have enacted a post-Roe ban intended to take effect if Roe is overturned. So some of these states, 13 of them, have already got it loaded and ready to fire once the Supreme Court releases its final decision. 13 states. Wish Georgia were one of those states. The states that have that, by the way, trigger laws is what they're called. I don't think you should be using the word trigger anymore, because trigger is a trigger word.
Trigger's a trigger.
And so you can't use trigger laws. You can't even say trigger words, because trigger is a trigger word. It's not easy being completely insane. Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah are all prepared to do this. Other states that have a North Carolina, Oklahoma, West Virginia. That would be great, wouldn't it? The battle for life, it is not over yet. There are 16 states that it will remain legal, plus Washington, D.C. New York, of course, leading the way. These won't surprise you. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, what? Maine, Maryland, and Massachusetts, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. Furthermore, voters may decide the fate of abortion in five states. So places like Alabama, West Virginia, Kansas, Michigan, they're going to be actually voting, Alaska too, whether or not the people want abortion to be legal or not. The legal status of abortion will remain the same in 10 states. In other words, the battle just keeps raging. Be praying. right about now. Jimmy, story number five. In which one is most demonic? That's right. We're back to the game. Satanic Temple wants their flag flying over the Boston Capitol because of the Supreme Court ruling in favor of a Christian group that wanted their flag flying. There you go. By the way, if you don't know what the flag looks like, ooh, it's a beauty. It's black with white stripes and an emblem of a pentagram and a goat skull. That's our country.
That's pretty.
Target has announced two new fashion lines for LGBTQ people. What's kind of funny about it is a lot of these clothing, they're designed to, for instance, make a woman look less like a woman and a man look less like a man. But if bodies have no significance, why would we, can't you just keep the, and just because you're just a different manifestation of a... That would be story number six. Jimmy, which one is the winner of which one is most demonic?
Story number one.
It's, wow, right out of the gate. Mm. The chanting at a Roman Catholic church. I'm killing babies, I'm killing babies. You got something more satanic? This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the Kingdom of Heaven, remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter His kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome to...
The Pagans Are Acting Like Pagans Again.
This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've asked the question, what in the world is going on? At least once, if not a thousand times, because every single day we are bombarded by news stories that indicate Romans 1 is alive and well, and so is... Acts chapter 19, Romans 1, talking about the descent into sin, that minds become darkened and they start to behave in unnatural ways. They start to think, well, really foolishly. Furthermore, Acts 19, I think, helps us to understand what in the world is going on as we continue to see more and more what can only be described as truly crazy behavior and decisions. Last night, sitting out in the back deck, why? Well, we're done with pollen season here in Atlanta, Georgia. Wasn't a bad year. The weather, for some reason, it was not nearly as injury. You're looking at me like I've got three heads.
Well...
The pollen was better this year than it has been in the past.
Well, it's still worse than I've ever seen it.
Well, welcome to Atlanta. I have looked because, well, I've got free time. How many Atlanta brochures? You know, you go to the city center, the travel office, Chamber of Commerce, and you look at their brochures. I've looked through each and every one of them in every county in Atlanta, and none of them include, wow, we have more pollen than anybody. They kind of keep that a hidden secret in the South because, well, a lot of people wouldn't come if they knew that your car gets covered in green schmutz on a daily basis for about 2 months. Well, we finally got to the end of it, which means it's time to clean whatever outdoor patio furniture you might have on my hands and knees, scrubbing the deck, trying to get the pollen off. Thought I was doing a good job and knew I had to because Mrs. Friel insists on it. Then I take the hose and I hose everything off. All the suds are gone and I'm thinking to myself, I hit every square inch, the pollen is gone. Well, the sun dried the water and we still have a green deck. So now we're back in our patio sitting in green pollen, even though we shouldn't be. When my phone rings and I receive a phone call from a guy who makes me sweat. Why? Well, he happens to be on our board and he's the financial guru guy, the accounting type, which means when he calls, I just get anxious. I always want to make sure that we are stewarding gifts really well here, and it terrifies me when he calls because, oh, what if I did something wrong? And we were chatting about what is happening in the world. And for some reason, he said something to me that perhaps you've uttered, but it stuck for some reason. We were chatting about this and that and the different stories. And he said, the world has just gone crazy. And for some reason, a light bulb went off that said, that's exactly it. The world has gone crazy. Here are a couple of demonstrations that the world has gone crazy. Then we'll scoot to Acts 19 to reveal why this is happening. Oh, boy. I don't know if you heard about this, but there were people protesting at mostly Catholic churches on Mother's Day. They were trying to disrupt services. Why? Because they're adamant in taking the life of their unborn child. And so they protest. We've had to put a barrier around the Supreme Court, fencing around the houses of Supreme Court justices because of the leaked decision that we're hoping sticks. That does put an end to Roe v. Wade. Not that that was codified legislation, but it would be a huge pro-life victory. People are so angry, they are doxing the Supreme Court justices. They're revealing their personal information and addresses. And I got to tell you something, with a message that indicates they don't mean to go there to say thank you. It looks a lot more like bad. I was going to say domestic terrorism. And I think that's actually right. Why? Why do they do, they go out and they, we've been seeing some violence, not as much as I anticipated, but we're seeing some violence. We've got to be able to abort our children. We got to be able to kill our kids. They're adamant about it. Why? Acts 19 is super instructive. But another story. In Oregon, maybe enough said, because that seems to be a region of the country that is truly going off the rails of logic and common sense. I'm sorry for this. I'm just reading them. Oregon just passed a new law, and the governor signed it. It's the Menstrual Dignity Act. Now, not minstrel, like, you know, somebody playing on some little stringed instrument. Curled up shoes. I'm not talking about a traveling minstrel in the Middle Ages or at a Renaissance festival near you. Menstrual Dignity Act requires schools to place feminine products in boys' bathrooms. Now, where else do you go but darkened mind? Where else do you go but detached from reality? By the way, the people who pass this legislation, I'm pretty certain that all of them have a license to drive a very heavy vehicle. They maybe even own homes and carry firearms, even though they tell you not to. These are people who are walking the streets, making decisions like this. It's so filled with cuckoo. You got to figure out what's going on here. With instructions on how to use those products in all K through 12 bathrooms, regardless of gender, Portland schools are implementing Menstrual Dignity Act. How twisted is this? The statement stressed the need for students to, this is just so contorted. The statement stressed the need for students to learn about growth and development. Noted that some physical education courses are implementing lessons on the four pillars of menstrual dignity. Menstruation is a bodily function. We wouldn't do this with other functions, would we? Only in a Romans 1 world. The four pillars of menstrual dignity encourage parents to have similar discussions with their children to help reduce the shame and stigma surrounding menstruation. I didn't know there was any. Do we have that stigma around coughing? Expectorating? Do we need legislation to remove the shame from using a restroom? The toolkit emphasized the need for menstrual products in all bathrooms. Here it comes, because lack of access disproportionately impacts students of color, students experiencing disability and poverty. What is color has got to be roped into everything these days. The Menstrual Dignity Act affirms the right to menstrual dignity for transgender, there it is, intersex, non-binary, and two-spirit students by addressing the challenges that some students have managing menstruation while minimizing negative attention that could put them at risk of harm and navigating experiences of gender dysphoria during menstruation. Absolutely crazy. Research connects gender-affirming bathroom access to supporting student safety. Ah, yes. Everything is about safety these days, isn't it? Isn't that what a lot of legislation and mandates have been about? You got to be safe. Are you safe? We got to keep people safe. Are you safe? Oregon students ranked 46th in the nation in reading and math. But they're aware about Menstrual Dignity Day in Oregon. Acts chapter 19. Paul is in Ephesus. Things are actually going quite well. Verse 21, it's the preamble to a riot that broke out. It appears that people were concerned that their commerce of false idols was being jeopardized. You get to verse 28. Now, when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius, Supreme Court justices, Macedonians, and Aristarchus, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. What did they chant? Something mindless. "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." For 2 hours, the pagans are acting like pagans again.
The pagans are acting like pagans again.
There's a better voice than I do. That is what we're seeing in the world. We're seeing Romans 1. We're seeing Acts 19 as the world continues to reveal its confusion because it is detached from the truth of God. We have some options. We can get really agitated. Oh, I've checked that box already. Or we can realize the solution to the insanity is the preaching of the gospel. Now is the time for us to be evangelizing and proclaiming. This is Wretched Radio. Confession. Normally numbers aren't my favorite subject, but these numbers make me happy. MediShare is affordable biblical health sharing with twice the satisfaction rate of MediShare members versus traditional health insurance plans. The average family saves $500 per month. Over $3 billion worth of medical bills have been shared among MediShare members, which, by the way, MediShare has been around for a quarter of a century. Don't forget, telehealth is available at MediShare, and it will take you 2 minutes to receive a quote to see what you and your family could be saving every single month with MediShare. Affordable biblical health sharing. Please spend a very worthwhile 2 minutes at 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
What's the one question you think we get the most here at Wretched? It's, why do you guys do what you do? And we thought the best person to answer that question was you.
Wretched Radio has just really brought me closer to God.
Wretched has changed my life.
Wretched Radio, you all have done a great job at really bringing joy into our lives.
Our goals have always been to preach the gospel, to equip people to preach the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. And when we hear testimonies from real people just like you, we are encouraged.
My life will never be the same because of you guys.
Through your video, God saved me.
Wretched Radio, you encouraged me to walk with the Lord.
And we know we would never be able to reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel if it weren't for the support of our gospel partners. If you're not a gospel partner, will you prayerfully consider partnering with Wretched to save the lost and reach millions of people with the gospel? Just log on to wretched.org/donate to get all of the information you could ever want to know about becoming a gospel partner. That's wretched.org/donate.
This is our dear brother Max in Ukraine, who's been a Tomorrow Club leader now for almost 20 years, giving us a picture of what is going on currently in Ukraine, specifically regarding the activity of the Tomorrow Clubs, normally kids' clubs where they meet every week to hear the gospel. But right now, those Tomorrow Club leaders are spending their efforts simply trying to minister to people who are in danger or who have nothing.
And our Tomorrow Club leaders in the West are trying to meet the needs of those families who had to escape, serving them. It's a good opportunity to show Christ to them in this time of trial.
There are many who need the bare necessities of life. Tomorrow Clubs is trying to serve them in that regard. Would you please consider what you might do for Ukrainian believers at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Congratulations. If you didn't notice, you too have ADHD. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you recall, about 15 minutes ago, I said the pagans are acting like pagans again inside of the church. And we never went there. I got a little distracted with birthing persons, gender identification issues, and how you need to be prepared to deliver a baby from a man. Boing! But it's not just the world that is acting. I know the word strikes the ear a little hard, but if this isn't pagan behavior that we're seeing, what is? If you went to an island with people who were in grass skirts running around, cutting each other's head off and eating their bodies for dinner, you'd go, okay, that's pagan right there. Or if they were sacrificing their children to an idol, you'd say, that's paganism right there, isn't it? Denying the true and living God, worshiping a coconut. What are we seeing in our cult? The same thing. It's more sophisticated. We just call it abortion. I mean, women's health rights is what we need. Access to good health care is what we call it. But it's the same type of behavior. And sadly, that mindset has made its way into the church. Prepare, hoofda, for a service at a Presbyterian church. Now, this is USA, so don't panic, my PCA friends. This is PCUSA. This is a church service. Believe it or not.
This past Thursday, March 31st, was the International Transgender Day of Visibility. In the PCUSA, we welcome all of our transgender and queer siblings into this family and relationship with the Creator God. So today, I wish to pray a prayer that was written for this incredible day.
Get ready. This isn't going to sound much like anything from the Bible, because it's not. It's paganism.
Will you pray with me?
No.
O God of pronouns, we give praise to the Great One, the One who is identifiable as God. I am what I am, you say, the great they.
The great they. No, I'm pretty certain that's singular. Not plural.
Incarnate he and she.
Nope. Incarnate as a man.
The God of trans beings. Impregnating Mary.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. Sloppy language at best. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. There was no union between God and Mary. That's closer to Mormonism, not biblical Christianity.
Fathering God. Breastfeeding God of many breasts.
That's okay. That is from, okay, there's a word in Hebrew within the semantic range like for a pagan deity was the god, the many breasted being. It's ripped out of context. It is not the correct use of the word. That is a description of paganism, not of God. So what has she done? She's found a word inside of the Bible to support that God is actually a breastfeeding deity.
You shatter all stereotypes, making every single person male and female.
Exactly. Making everyone male and female. Bingo! I guess she missed that irony.
Male and female, intersex, non-binary.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. Not what Genesis 1 says. This would be adding to the text, wouldn't it?
Your image. Exactly, in your image.
No, that's male and female. Created he them.
Spectrum, rainbow god, who put your promise for nonviolence in the symbol for queer love.
Okay. Jimmy, want to make sure that I'm not far afield on this deal. I think what they just said.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm getting with the program. I don't want to offend. I mean, it looks like a woman and everything, but who am I to judge?
That's right.
That this is a statement about the rainbow. That you would put your, what did she said something about that you wouldn't be destructive and you'd put it in this peaceful sign. The sign of the rainbow is a reminder that God destroyed the world with a flood and has promised to not do it again until he destroys the world with fire. I want to hear this again.
Your image. Spectrum, rainbow god, who put your promise for nonviolence in the symbol for queer love.
Okay. That's the symbol of nonviolence that has now been adopted 3,000 years later by a group of people to identify a spectrum of sexuality and sexual behavior. I don't think that's a little bit of an anachronism where you're taking something from then, making it now, or vice versa. This is nothing that even resembles Christianity. And furthermore, as far as it being a peaceful symbol, not exactly the right way to describe it. It's a promise that God won't destroy the world with a flood. But we're talking about Genesis 9 here, give or take, 7, 8, 9. And after that, we see God going to war. We see God instructing the children of Israel to go to war to invade that nation, so that to indicate that the rainbow is somehow a sign that, well, God was never privy to anything that we would consider violence, is to pretty much unhitch your Old Testament except the bits you like.
Before humanity knew, because you knew, who had Joseph who could not sleep with a woman in a beautiful lady's cloak, perhaps of rainbow colors, before we knew, you knew.
I don't know what that meant. Jimmy, do you know what that meant?
Was she saying that Joseph's coat of many colors was a female coat?
So you speak paganism.
I thought that's what she said.
Well done.
God of pronouns who said, you can call me he or she or they.
Where does it say that? Nowhere. Every pronoun about God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, it's masculine.
Whatever makes you feel closest to me.
Well, that's your feeling, but that's just not what the Bible says.
Invisible and visible God, on this day, where visibility and celebration, belatedness, affirmation, and acceptance is the bare minimum.
By the way, this is a prayer in case you've forgotten.
Remind us that you are the God of pronouns, so you affirm and you celebrate them. God of Saul, Paul, Simon, Isaac, Jacob, Isaac, Simon, Peter, Abram and Sarai, and Abraham and Sarah.
What are we doing with Abraham and Sarai instead of Sarah and Avram instead of Avraham? It was after the covenant they were given a new name. They are now children of God. What does this have to do with whatever it is that she's about?
God of Joseph, of the coat of many colors, of the Ethiopian eunuch, of the Virgin Mary, God of all found families in the Bible, remind us that you affirm us in our full identity, name, pronoun, found family, all of it.
No, he doesn't affirm sin. This is mean. That's what this is. This is mean. This woman is not being kind to people and giving them permission to live in sin.
For this, we give you thanks and praise to the great I am, the great they them. Thank you, God. And so in the now in the words that our mother, our father, and our sibling God taught us to pray, and pray with us now. Our Father, who art in heaven.
I'm just letting that word father just soak in a little bit.
Yeah, she didn't change it to our mother.
No, but I'm wondering, though, if she changed the rest of it.
Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Wish we had time and a half.
Our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
But then I'd be in triple for some people.
Deliver us from evil. For thine
What's evil?
Kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
She had to read that, by the way. Just for the record. The pagans are acting like pagans inside of the church. What does this woman need? She needs truth. She needs regeneration. She needs law. She needs gospel. She needs to understand the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the holiness of God, the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. She needs the power of the Holy Spirit in her. Persistently and increasingly fixing her broken thinking. Frustrating to hear this? It's more than frustrating. And I think righteous indignation is right. But so too is a recognition of this woman's actual need.
The gospel.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.